Welcome into the Grasscutter Social Club, a social club for the everyman. If you've ever wondered what three average guys and maybe that other random dude are buzzing about after the lawns are all mown, this is the spot for you. Now here are your hosts, Branko, Burl, and Ron.
All right, guys, after a long break, I'm so excited we're back, and I can't wait for this episode. We're talking a lot of golf and a little hockey, but Ron, Branks, great to see you guys again. Great to do this again. How are you?
Real good. Real good. Good to be back.
Yeah, good to be back after a little bit of a hiatus, but I'm so happy to see you guys and to see our next guest.
Yeah, it's nice to see your smiling faces. And our next guest, speaking of which, we got Derek joining us, buddy. Derek, thanks for coming in and joining us on the pod, man.
I appreciate the invite. Looking forward to chopping it up.
Yeah, we're going to have a great night. Let's just break it down real quick, because Derek, I'm going to be honest, I don't know much about your history with the group through Hagen and Branks. Hagen's been on the show previously, but like, we met briefly because you're a fellow lefty, and thank God you are, because I needed some upgrades on my clubs, and Branks connected us to upgrade my units to your old set. But maybe, like, I don't know, how did you and Branks and everybody get connected? Are you guys friends from high school? Or
yeah, like, Branks, buddy from high school, and also we played hockey when we were younger together. I can't remember if it what came first. I'm pretty sure hockey, and then
the over same into... same time for sure, because I only got into playing competitive hockey in grade 9. Like, that's kind of when I wanted to. And then that year we played together. And so we would, but I don't think we hung out as much at school. Like, we weren't like, we didn't like, I think we were friendly, but like, we weren't hanging out. And then, like, as time went on, I think we got closer. But by the end of high school, I was driving your green Honda CRV on DiRienzo's runs because I had a spare that you didn't or something like that, and so you were very generous to lend me your car from time to time. So
we had a good trade-off there. I learned to drive standard on Branko's old Honda Civic DX hatchback, and if you can ever imagine Branko in a Honda Civic DX hatchback,
hold on,
clown car.
You're upselling that DX. It was a CX. It had no power steering. It was bare bones. And I'm sure my dad gave me that car because I just literally, like, deserved, like, the shittiest, most bare bones car. But man, that car took us places.
And Branko's probably like one of the more responsible of our degenerate friends in high school. So that's where, like, he'd be like, you can drive my car. I'd be like, you can drive my car. I don't really care. And then, but it's true. Like, his, what you say, it's a CX. I didn't know that existed. So it's a CX. And yeah, no power steering, trying to learn stick on this thing. I'm sure I burned the clutch out on that car a couple times for you guys.
My dad gave me free rein to ruin that car because it was so shitty. So I think it's probably for the best.
I learned stick on a Honda too, and I don't think you could burn the clutch out of those things. They're pretty bulletproof.
That's true. For Hagen, like, I guess I was probably better buddies with Hagen first, and then Branko, like, through hockey, and then obviously being at the same high school playing together, so then we became buddies. And then he liked skiing a lot. I was into snowboarding back then, so we'd do a couple trips like up to Tremblant, and yeah, just like when you're playing hockey, like, you're going to tournaments sometimes and you're with those guys for so often that I feel like it's inevitable that as long as the person's like a reasonable person and they, you know, that you have kind of a couple things in common, you're going to end up being decent buddies with them. So that's kind of where, like, we started. The golf, I guess, came later on, but yeah, that's kind of, I think, the short of it, where we kind of ran into each other.
Nice. And the golf, speaking of which, we've all found each other on the golf course together for more than a few rounds now. But I'm wondering, did you guys, how much of the Masters did you guys actually get to watch? Because let's be real, we've all got kids, we've all got our plates full. I know that I watched more on, I snuck some in on Thursday. I didn't have much going on at work, so I was able to play it through some of my prep and planning, and then I watched a little through the weekend. and I managed to watch the last three holes of Rory's round, but I did not get to watch the playoff hole. So that's how my Masters went. But did you guys get to watch much of it? What were some of your impressions of this year's Masters?
Well, for me, I mean, I saw the whole thing. I mean, my kids being a little older, it was a little easier to manage that. And it was just, I mean, I can't think of another sporting event in recent memory where I was that invested in the outcome. Like it might, maybe it was like the Blue Jays with like Batiste in the playoffs, like that level of just, you know, investment in the outcome and just like that Jays game, just a complete wild ride. So like for me, it was just a golf tournament that probably never going to forget. And just the ups and downs, just incredible. I can't remember anything quite like it. So yeah, it was amazing.
I was like very fortunate enough that because I work shift work. So Thursday, Friday, I was off. And kids are in daycare and school. So I was just like glued to the TV the whole day. And I put it in our calendar, the Google shared calendar, told the wife, like, do not bother me on these 2 days. There's no laundry getting done. Like, I don't care if there's a poop stain in the toilet, it's staying there. Like, we're focused on the golf. And then Saturday and Sunday, I actually had to work. So it was kind of nice because our work's a little bit different for some stuff, but one of the guys was on overtime and he wanted to stay for like the entire length of his shift to collect as much cash basically. So I was like, oh yeah, I have to go in to work for two, but I really didn't have to go into work for two. I could have gone in around 4 or 5. So I ended up just going to my mom's house, watching in total silence with no kids or wife for Saturday and Sunday. And then heading out to work and then watching the rest at work. So I got a good chunk of the Masters. And it's really like, it's just such a great sporting event. And I feel like if it wasn't, as like Ron said, like if I wasn't as invested this year, I probably wouldn't have had to you know, want to be that focused on it. But oh, it was a great Masters. So I just didn't want to miss any of it.
Yeah. No, I try to get as much as I could on Thursday and Friday, but it was more so just watching the like individual shots. I was kind of tracking it that way on the app, which is obviously amazing, or the website. And then on Saturday, I caught the afternoon wave kind of at the end, maybe from like 2 to 5-ish, 2 to 6. And then Sunday, I watched the first two holes and I had to turn it off because I was just so anxious for Rory. And it obviously went crazier than I could have even imagined the rest of the day, obviously, with the topsy-turvy. I don't think it would have been healthy for me to watch that whole round. And I went to I think I told you guys, I went to a four-year-old's birthday party where I just completely, like turned off do not disturb and told my father-in-law, like, not to tell me anything. And we came out of that little, like, jungle gym place, and, like, I was like, I can't bear this anymore. I got to turn it on. And it was just before he was going to putt for on 18 for the first time when he missed it. And I was like, oh, my God, it's going to a playoff. And then, like, we drove a little while longer, and I turned it off, and I turned it back on again. And I saw he won, and I was like, oh, thank God. And then I was so happy. Like, I was so freaking happy for him. So, big fan, big Rory fan.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, because the one round I did watch a lot of was, like I said, Thursday, and I watched Rory just sort of crumble after having a hot start to the day, and I was like, uh-oh, this doesn't look good for his tournament, and it's definitely his confidence. But the one question I got for you guys, like, what, because I didn't see it, I just saw the one highlight, what ended up happening with that guy? That did he hit a caddy, or who was the guy standing? And like, what happened there? Because I missed
that. It was Homa. So it's a marshal. So they have these like flag marshals. You'll see them. And like T-box ones, obviously, they hit the tee shot. They're going to point left, right? They carry those big yellow flag sticks with the flags on. I have no idea what that guy was doing.
Yeah.
But he was standing right in the middle of the fairway. And Homa's in the left trees. And he hit like a stinger to like run one up. and like two hopped it into the guy. And you could hear on the clip even Homa say, "Oh, come on." Like, why is it? It's the ultimate, like, you shouldn't have been standing there. You hit that guy, you know? He shouldn't have been standing there.
Yeah,
like he's in the middle of the fairway.
And it's so unmasters like, because everything in the Masters is perfect, right? The course is perfect. Like the telecast is perfect. Branko, you mentioned the app. That's the best app in sports. So whatever, like, it was just weird to see that at the Masters, this weird guy in the white, in the white skiff, just standing out there in the middle of the fairway, leaning on the stick, and just gets it right in the back.
I feel like because
Homa played well.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ron. Homa did play well. He finally made a cut. But what I wanted to say is that, like, it's sort of a double-edged sword there too, because they have every shot of everybody. Like, you do get that kind of a clip, whereas other tournaments where they don't have like everybody televised, like, you might miss something like that. So it kind of comes with this thing where you can see or potentially hear, like, on like a hot mic, some stuff that you wouldn't be able to hear. Like, there was that I said that Nick Dunlap drive around where he just hit it off the, like, absolutely off the map. And, you know, PGA being kind of an entertainment product, they usually, like, you know, hide that or DMCA, like, those Twitter posts. And that one was just like, oh yeah, here, look at this guy just absolutely hit like a slice into another fairway. I felt so seen. I was like, this is so relatable.
Like, a few things there, like Homa, I know you said, you jokingly said he made the cut, but he actually finished T12. So he gets an exemption into the 2026 Masters. That's pretty big for a guy who's struggling to find it.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that Justin Rose was staying alive the whole time. I kind of like him as a person after watching, what was it, Full Swing on Netflix. Older dog, but obviously still can get around. His putting, I guess, kept him in the whole tournament.
Yeah.
Just draining those putts.
His post-Masters interview is a good one for anybody looking to watch. I just put laying it all out there, what it meant. Like, nice. Pretty decent.
The other thing I was going to bring up with you guys is, you know how, like, now that it's the Masters is over, that one photo of Rory on his knees, like, grabbing his hat after he's finally sunk that putt in the playoff to win. Do you guys see who took that photo? It was...
I'm going to guess, because I know he was there. Was it Ken Griffey?
Yeah, that's his photo.
Really?
Yeah. And that's the one that everybody's using everywhere. And... I was going to say, like, because Randy Johnson is doing the photography stuff too, eh?
Yeah, him and Randy Johnson are big photographer guys.
I think if you're a professional, like a retired professional athlete, everybody talks about, like, going into coaching or going into TV and doing all that stuff. But, like, I got to be honest, if you got more money than God, I feel like being a certified photographer and being able to pick the, like, nitpick the best events on earth to go to, like, that's got to be the dream, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a golf guy too. Like, he does, like, pro-ams and stuff like that. So, yeah, no doubt.
100%. I mean, I feel like there's some sneaky ways to get into Augusta that way. Like, if you're a media member, you know, I wonder what's defined as media and how you get that credential. Like, if you write a blog about golf, like, can you get it in? Like, I don't understand. Like what is sort of the criteria? I'd be curious to know. And on top of that, as a credentialed media member, you get into the draw to potentially play the course. And, like, wow, can you imagine that? So, yeah, maybe that's something for us to think about in our 50s and 60s.
Would you, like, on that, is there another sporting event that you would rather go to? Like, for me, I would love to go. The no cell phone stuff, the scoreboard changes, seeing those videos. Like, I think being at that event would be like no other sporting event. I don't know. I can't think of one I'd rather be at.
For sure. Like, you'd rather go to the Masters than, say, a Game 7 Stanley Cup final game? I don't think I would. I think I'd still rather, like, a game. I love golf, and I'd love to go to Augusta. I enter the lottery every year. But, like, I feel like you're going, you see it on TV and you're like, this place, you know, you want to see it, the undulation, the walking, see how crazy all the slopes are. But I just feel like for like, I wouldn't want to be there on a Sunday when you're like I've heard stories of there's like very minimal scoreboards everywhere. You don't have a cell phone. So you're like, who's winning? Who's like making a charge? What hole is everyone on? Like, what, where are we at here? So I feel like on like a sun, like especially this past Sunday where you're like, I guess because it was all the groups that were off, you'd kind of, you'd all be on 18 at that point. So you'd know like, oh, Rosie sunk his putt and then Rory just queefed the whole hole. So they're going to go to a playoff because you're there. But I just feel like it's hard. Like you're not on the app, like checking out people's shots, checking out scores and checking out who's falling. I'd love to go like, and I actually saw a post of somebody who's like, I've gone and I would not ever want to go on a Sunday if I'm like a true golf nut, because it's so hard to follow what's really going on.
To follow it. I could see that.
I think you're right in some senses there. Cause if it was a choice between like Game 7 Ottawa playing for the cup or Masters Sunday tickets, like it's a 10 out of 10 times I would take those Ottawa Game 7 tickets just because it means more to me. But as like a thing to do, like I would love to go. And I think I've told you guys, like I won one year in the lottery, like the Wednesday practice round tickets. But like I just remember thinking like I didn't have a ton of money and I didn't know the logistics and it was like middle of the week and I was like, I don't know how much it's going to cost me to get down there. It's like, I'm going to have to take at least 2 to 3 days off. And I just ended up selling them and I made a bunch of money. And I looking back on it, I regret it for sure. But at the same time, it's like, it's such a hoopla down there. And without knowing the logistics, like you could just, you know, obviously you pay an arm and a leg for all the other stuff on top of the fact that you maybe got tickets for cheaper, but yeah, it's definitely a bucket list item. I agree. I would definitely want to go and see the course.
Were you not worried about like getting the ban email for selling anything?
I think this is before. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I haven't. You know, usually I think they tell you if you've gotten chopped. But this was like I want to say that was
a long time ago. I remember.
I want to say 2015 for sure. It was when I did that. It was like a permalancing job. So it was like, if I didn't work, I just didn't get paid. There was no like days off in terms of like, if you didn't work, you weren't making money. So that was a part of the calculus. But yeah, like looking back at it, like I should have gone. And I've heard Wednesday is one of the better days to go because it's the par three contest, but that means that the rest of the course is a little more open. So you can go and you can still bring cameras and your phone on those days, like practice rounds. I'm pretty sure you're allowed to bring your phones. It's just the tournament rounds you're not. So, but yeah, I would definitely want to go to a hockey game if it was that, but bucket list item for sure. Augusta would be special.
Yeah, I think the intensity, like you said, Derek, the intensity of like a win and like the win or lose thing situation, like a hot game 7 hockey game would be unbelievable, but to spend 3 or 4 days in that weather, in that space, I don't know if there's like a better way to spend all that time. But yeah, speaking of spending, people go down there and just break the bank in that Masters Hawk Lounge, buying all the merch and all the ridiculousness, and to be honest, like some of the money people drop there in that merch room is bananas. I don't know. Have you guys ever gotten any merch from somebody else that's been down or?
No, man. It's like you can't get it, right?
My friend Scott, who like works for the PGA, he went like, I want to say it was like the last one pre-pandemic, maybe, or the 2018, 2019. And he brought me home a koozie. And I remember being like, whoa, like that's sweet. Like it probably was like the cheapest thing you could get at that shop, but it didn't matter to me. I was like, I cherish this beer koozie.
That's hilarious. So,
that's the only official merch I got.
I've seen people at our club like walking around with the hats, basically. But like I read that it was like $70 million in merch they do throughout the tournament. And they also have it set up so that you can just buy it and ship it right away from the merch like store or the whatever the clubhouse. So you can, there's like shipping on site. So you don't have to lug it around. You can buy hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. And like it's the Masters, right? It's like they just think of everything, it seems like.
But the thing that I found interesting that you guys pointed out, I didn't know this, but the concessions and all that stuff is actually cheap. Like it's cheaper than any other sports event. So I thought we'd drop $20 on the concessions. And did anybody find a good way to spend their money? I know Ron, you got a hungry bum. What'd you see on that concession sheet that you wanted to drop your $20 on?
Yeah. Now we're including the beers, eh? Like if you want to buy the beers,
it's probably $20. We know that we're getting unlimited beers. The beers are getting slugged and guzzled. And don't stress about beers, but pick a few things off that menu that.
Okay, I'm definitely getting there early, and I'm gonna get two coffees for sure. That's gonna need to be a two coffee day, 100%. So that's $4, $2 a coffee. I think I'm gonna go. Two pimento cheese sandwiches, maybe three if I have enough money at the end, but that's probably the only sandwich I'm going to eat. I'm just going to get the cheese, just the pimento cheese. I looked at the other ones here and they're probably tasty. A Masters Club is a bit intriguing, but probably two pimento cheeses. And then you're saying I don't have to spend my $20 on the beers. That sounds good. I'll probably just go with the apple slices. Makes me laugh. Like that's just such a kid thing. But I think I'd probably go with a couple of bags of peanuts just for the back pocket, walking around, chomping on some peanuts all day. Although they probably wouldn't like not let you like throw them on the ground. They'd probably get mad at you for that. But yeah, that's probably how I'd spend my $20.
Pretty chalk, I feel, but that's a good one. I don't mind it. Derek, how are you dropping your coin? Something on there that piqued your interest that you absolutely couldn't miss?
I agree with Ron with like you're getting there early, so you're gonna start it off with a coffee. But I was surprised he didn't go for a breakfast, Sammy. Like you're gonna want a little gas in the tank to start the day. So I got the breakfast Sammy with a coffee. Now, I'm not sure that I'm going to like it, but because nobody goes to Augusta and leaves without trying the pimento, I will go for one of those. But as a middle-aged white man, I'm also going to get the egg salad sandwich because I just feel like that's also par for the course. And in the afternoon, I mean... probably need the pork barbecue. It sounds intriguing. Could be good. And I would definitely top it off with the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. I've only heard amazing things about that. And that's true. I've only heard great things about that.
Yeah, like it. I'm going to go some similar route. I'm going to show up. Got to give me a coffee. Let's get woken up. Let's see what's going on. Maybe throw in a little muffin there too. You know, I don't need a ton of food. I need to run lean for the morning, work up an appetite, and maybe get a water to wash it all down. That's $6 right there. I'm going to walk around, probably cruise the front nine, and then make the turn. Probably get into like at least two pimento cheese and one egg salad. That's $4.50 right there. We're at $10. Let's get maybe a little DC, a little Diet Coke, you know, burp up some of that flavor. And then like Derek said, the Georgia peach ice cream is apparently very good, so I'd probably get two of those and call it a day.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you guys. You gotta get started with a coffee, but we're still in the South. I had to get the chicken biscuit for breakfast. You gotta get a biscuit sometime through the day. And then I had two pimento cheeses on my menu with a savory tomato pie to chase them down with. And then I'm wrapping up my day with some southern cheese straws because I have no idea.
Yeah, what is that?
Possibly be, but I
It looks like a fry. I'm Googling it right now. It looks like some kind of like pre-made cheese mix and molded into a fry shape.
Perfect. And then I'm getting the Georgia peach ice cream sandy like Derek and the rest of you. Can't skip it. I have no idea. I have no idea what that might look like. Like, is it? Do you think it's peach colored? I guess if it's got the peaches in it, or. But yeah,
the ice cream, you mean? Yeah, I have no idea. Good, yeah.
So, that's what I'm going with. But boys, it sounds like we're gonna be full for sure with those $1.50 pimento cheese sandwiches carrying us through the day. That was a pretty good start to the show, guys. Let's take a little break and we'll come back and we'll chat a little more golf.
You've heard of Spanx and Skims. Well, now we have something for the middle-aged men out there. Stop grunting getting on and off the couch. Stop groaning when you bend and play with the kids. Stop moaning about how stiff and sore you are. Throw on a pair of squats underwear for men and feel the relief your body felt in its 20s. Cut out all the dramatic sound effects with a little help from your squats. A low-down good time.
All right, gang, we're back, and I'm so pleased for this one because as dads... And family men, and to be honest, respectable human beings, we don't often take a big chunk of change and a big budget and throw it around on something as frivolous as golf. But today, what we're doing is we're playing with some Monopoly money, and we've decided that for $10K, we're gonna spend it and dedicate it towards golf. Maybe a trip, maybe something for the bag. Maybe some lessons. I'm not really sure how these clowns want to spend their golf money, but we're going to spend 10 grand and we're going to see how it goes. So let's see what Reg thinks about his 10 grand. Reggie, buddy.
Sure. And I'll start by saying money spent on golf is never frivolous. I think we deserve it. I wish I had 10K in real life to spend on golf, but it is always money well spent. We work hard. You know, kids come first, family comes first, of course, but I never feel bad about sneaking a little time in at the Golf Town website and finding a little treat, you know, putting that in the cart for a few weeks, hoping that the click buy one day. But anyway, 10 grand. I feel like sensibly I would have to put at least 1,000 of that to some lessons, maybe like a lesson a month, you know, with the PGA pro in that way. Like, you know, go see him, get something to work on, come back. So I think I'd probably put $1,000 to that. I wouldn't mind like getting some nice golf attire as well. Like just, and I'm thinking like a little off the map here. Almost finding like some kind of niche company that does like a vintage type of golf wear, like some stripes, like just some nice, very nice, like tailored pants, like spending some quality money on something that like doesn't look like the Under Armour kind of golf guy that I
am. Yeah, you need bogey boys, like Macklemore's company. It sounds exactly what you want to get, like some of that like old timey, like looser fit stuff. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Something like that. Like I'd love to take my time and pick out some items like that.
That would be at least $1,000, depending on how many pieces you're getting.
Oh yeah. I think I'm putting like 2,500 to that. Like fall golf, you know, summer golf outfits. Also like finding some sweet hats. Like a Lee Trevino Top Flight 3000 hat with his vintage hats.
It's like a $150 hat. For sure.
Something like that would be
sweet. Ron, you know what you immediately came to mind, and I know you'll appreciate it, is the Hal Sutton Strata.
Ooh, that is nice.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But was it Phil Mickelson? Didn't he have like a Yonex hat?
Oh, yeah.
Like, was he the, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those things. Find some of those. And then I feel like I'd have to get some new clubs. And if I was going to spend 10,000 frivolously, there's these Mizuno irons that are finished in like a Masters metallic green. I don't know if you guys have seen those, but they are so beautiful. And my golf game could never do any respect to actually play those. But let's assume this is a world where I wouldn't be laughed at having those beauties in the bag. But they are so sexy that I think that would be something to get. But so those irons, I think, are $2,500. So I'm at about 6,000 there. And then I feel like I'm doing the majority of the rest on like a golf trip, you know, something special, minimum 3K there, anything left, you know, throw it to some new balls or something like that. But I think that would be my, yeah, my 10K. So some lessons, a new wardrobe, something flashy in the bag like those irons, and then, yeah, a golf trip at some point in that year.
Nice. That's a good start.
That'd be mine.
That's kicking us off. I love it.
Derek. Yeah, Derek. I want to hear Derek's.
I like mine's going to be pretty lame, I feel like, compared to that. That was a detailed, like, you've thought about this. You've been like, if I have this money, this is exactly what I'm going to do. Like the Mizuno irons, I was like, oh man, he's looked at those. He's definitely thinking about it. I already have a membership somewhere, but it's tough. Like, where I'm at in my life right now in my current living situation, like the first thing I would say is a simulator, because 6 months of the year I can't golf, and it destroys me inside. Like I'm depressed, I feel like, at some point in time. Like I'm so excited that we can finally get back out there soon. But just based on like living situation, family situation, like I probably wouldn't be using it as much as I think I would want to. So, because like a sim can run you anywhere from, I'd say like five at the very low end, if you're doing a lot of the heavy lifting yourself, just for all the tech and stuff, to, you know, 10, 20 grand if you want track, man. So I think if I was a little bit older and the kids were older, I'd go for a sim, because I think if I can get them into golf, they'd also utilize it. But currently, like, the bag's looking all right. I'd probably first thing look at the bag and get some new hybrids. That'd probably be 800 to 1,000, I would guess, based on what clubs are going for these days. I would deck myself out in like the most proper rain gear that I could find, because I find that it's super expensive when we've got the Cabot trip coming up, and I was like, I better get some rain gear that's going to, you know, there's a good chance we're going to get wet. And looking at it, like a jacket's like $400 if you want like a good foot joy. Same thing for pants. So I'd say that's like 800 to 1,000 if you want to get, you know, all the gloves and gear for that. I would probably, and it pains me to say this because I do love where I play, but I would probably upgrade the membership just a little closer to the house at Rideau View, because it's just the practice facility, the course, it's a little bit of a different setup and layout than Carlton. I'd probably sprinkle in another pair of shoes. I like having a two pair of reliable shoes, especially for the golf trips. Like when we do the Belleville stuff, it kind of sucks putting one pair of shoes on for two rounds in one day. And if I got 10K, I can kind of just piss it away at another pair of $300 shoes. So why not? And then the rest, like Ron said, like I would 100% do a golf trip. For anyone who's like somewhat into golf and has buddies who are somewhat into golf, and if they can sneak away and bribe their wives and families with trips to the spa or trips to the ice cream parlor or whatever, just do it. Like, it's the most fun you're ever going to have with your buddies. And I would definitely do like a Pinehurst Tobacco Road kind of road trip. That, or it would be a flight, but trip. Because that's kind of like my on the top of my list, I'd say right now.
I didn't even.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the sim. That's a great idea, and you're right. If you did the heavy lifting yourself, you could pull it off for a much smaller chunk of change. But do you have like at your new place? Can you do a full swing in the basement, or do you have a spot in the garage where you could set one up, or How close is this dream? How real is it?
Well, our 2-year-old's bedroom is. I could do it in this dungeonous basement that you can see behind me, but it's 9 feet. We tried to get 10 feet ceilings down here, but they didn't offer it when we were doing our build. So it's only 9 feet. So for me, it's okay because I'm not a tall guy. Like Branko comes down here, he's gonna have to put a damage deposit down if he's swinging the club because he's 7 feet tall. But the only place I'd really want to put it is the garage, and a couple problems for that are in the winter, I hate waking up to scrape the car off when I gotta get 2 kids off to school and daycare. So we shove 1 car in the garage. We could probably make it work because it is a 2-car garage where we could even have one in there and get a swing, but we got so much shit with 2 kids. Everybody here knows it. Like the garage is just, it's their like storage room. So I would put it in there. And then like I was saying, our kid's bedroom is above the garage. And like, I would be so afraid to whack a driver at 9 PM and just hear like, wah! Like it would just ruin my night if that happened. So that's the only spot so I could realistically put one. And like our club does have simulators in the winter, which is nice. It's a 10-minute drive. It's easy to get there. But it still costs, even though like I'm a member, you still pay $40 a pop to go in and play the sim every day. So it adds up if you want to. Like I love that like Ron can just turn around right now and be like, I just want to work on some wedges like for 10 minutes. I don't need to book an hour and then rush through a bunch of stuff.
I love that too, man. It's honest. Like I hear you on the winter doldrums stuff. And like, I can't, like I turn the heaters on out here this time of year. In the winter, I'll come out here, but it's like, I got to turn the heater on in the morning for it to heat up enough to use it. So it's like, I'm not out here every day, but it is nice just every now and then to come out, even just taking some dry hacks. Like I can hit the balls and I've got the Garmin R10 launch monitor thing. Like it's less than $1,000 and you get what you pay for. I'll say that. Like it's not as good as even some of the, you know, mid-range ones, I'll say. Like the R50, I think is like $7,000 or $6,000 or something like that. I think my advice on that would be wait to save up and buy even that next model up. But anyway, yeah, it's a simulator. It's just the way of the future. They're going to start building homes with these rooms off to the side with a 12-foot ceiling for that reason for dudes. Like, there's going to be a simulator option.
Well, you know those, like, they do the Dream Home, the Chio Dream Homes, right? Mm-hmm. The last one that they just built in our neighborhood has a golf simulator. I was like, oh, my God, I want to win. It's hilarious, right? You're like, I just want to win this for the golf simulator. Like, yeah, it's awesome to get a free house, but like realistically, I just want that golf simulator.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's the dream, man. That's where I always think like it'd be so nice to just build yourself a little shed in the back that's like big enough for you to swing and maybe put a cot in there you can sleep, and that's all you'd ever need.
Just the best. How you dropping your
but point? I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. I mean, I feel like in terms of like clubs and odds and ends, I'm good there. Like I don't like that stuff doesn't really move the needle a hell of a whole lot for me. What I would like to do is I have a permanent net set up in my backyard with like maybe some like a hitting mat or whatever. So maybe that runs you like $1,000 for a really nice net setup or whatever. I'm not really sure how much, but let's just say it's that. But I swear I would just spend the rest of it on traveling and playing. Like I just want to go to all these different places in the world, especially Australia and New Zealand. Like I want to so badly go there. I know like Scotland's the home of golf and England and Ireland is really good on that end, but man, seeing the stuff I've seen, especially from No Laying Up, Ron and Derek, you guys are familiar.
Yeah.
Like holy shit! Like I would just drop $9,000 playing all the nicest courses, go and play in like Royal Melbourne and Kingston Heath and going to
that's the one.
Going to New Zealand and playing Tahiti.
Tahiti would be so
good. And Jack's Point and stuff like that. I would just drop, because for me, like, golf is all experience, you know? Like, it's all, like what Derek said, like, hanging with your buddies and going to places to play golf. Like, there's just literally nothing I'd rather, like, go broke for, you know? Just spend all my money on and, like, work hard to just do that thing. Like, obviously, our families are first and foremost. But the next thing would be golf-related trips. And as you know, I've kind of helped organize cabin, and I'm already thinking the next year. Like, my brain's already turning. And that's, yeah, that's all I want to spend the remaining part of the money on. So
there's nothing more that I love than, like, I'll wake up on a morning and, like, obviously all of us with kids, like, Branko's up super early. I'll get, like, a text and I'll be, like, see it and it'll be like, hey, like, what do you think about this for next year for the trip? And I'm like, oh man, like I'd get to work and be like, I'm not even checking my email. Like, I'm just going on Google and I'm like, well, like the flights, like we got to look at travel times. Are they direct flights? Do we got to connect? And like, I don't know. It's like golf. Like I wasn't always a big sicko for golf. Like I lived in Toronto where it was so hard. I didn't have a car. I sold it before I went. So you're playing maybe once or twice a year and then, came back to playing a lot, I guess, right before COVID. But like, I wouldn't have, like, I met Ron through, you know, the mutual boys, but I would never have, like, known who Ron is unless golf was there. Like, the first, I feel like it was the first time we, like, really hung out was the Belleville trip. And we're, like, sitting in the living room at, like, you know, whatever, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And the way the Airbnb set up is, like, the living room, and then you look at the TV, and behind the TV is the kitchen. And I just, like, kind of peered over the TV, and I just saw Ron, like, in his just absolute natural habitat with just an apron on, no shirt underneath. Oh, yeah. Just spinning some dough in the air, and I'm like, what's he doing? And they're like, oh, he's just making some pizzas. I was like, really? Like, he's whipping the dough up? Like, what's going on here? Like, this is amazing. Like, our like, if I got up in the living room from a golf trip, I was going to bed. Like, I wasn't going to the kitchen to throw an apron on and start whipping up pizzas for the boys. Like, so that's, I don't know, it's just like, it's been so awesome, like, meeting all you guys and all your buddies and kind of having a couple of our friends come together for those trips. Like, it's literally the biggest, like, events of my summer that I look forward to outside of all the family stuff. Right, Branko?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Yeah.
For family first, but then golf trip second, of course. And a very close second of that, I would say. but yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting how as you age, like, the, you know, you want to play well, but like the hang is so much more the thing about golf. Like, I used to get driven crazy by how I played, and like I would get mad, and like I feel like as you age, like, it's so much less about what you score. It's very much about, you know, the vibes and hanging out and seeing your buddies, and like, really, like, you almost want them to do, like, great, you know, like, you're just cheering them on as much as you are trying to, like, shoot your own score. And it's like, I don't know, it's a very, very fun experience for me, and as I'm sure it is for the rest of you boys.
I think I'd like, I want to add on that for anybody, because I'm like preaching, go on a golf trip with the boys. Like, if you're, like, you know, an okay golfer, and you're like, hey, we're going away on a golf trip with the boys to a golf course we've never played before, and we're going to be up late, and we're going to be minimal sleep and having a couple beers, like, don't expect to play well. Like, don't, if you're trying to, like, hype yourself up that this is going to be the best round I've ever played, like, that's the worst mentality. Like Branko's saying, it's, you got to just go to enjoy it, and if you play well, it's such a bonus. But you got to remember, it's like a course you've never played. You're there to have fun. So don't, like, oh, I got to go to bed at 8 so that I can wake up and get my rest for golf. Like, no, you're there to have fun. So just, I guess you got to tame the expectations down a little.
Ryan, what are you spending your money on, guy?
Well, that's it. I'm the resident high handicapper. So this is kind of the gag for you guys to listen how I'm going to spend my money. I'm gonna spend, and I was talking to a buddy down the street, actually. There's a guy out of Swingin' Sticks, you know, that sim down on Rebel Road. Mm-hmm. But he does lessons for $100, and he doesn't like sign you up for, because this what's the big driving range in the city where they do lessons out of?
Kevin Haim.
Yeah, Kevin Haim. They try and sign you up to a package, right? They want you to spend $1,000 on 10 lessons and stuff like that. Mm. I like the idea of just paying $100 and seeing, you know, how it goes the first couple times. But I'm gonna put $3,000 aside for lessons. Something to try and actually get better. I know I got a few hitches that I need to get some opinions on and work out, and then I'm gonna spend, and you guys can attest to this, I'm sure. There's just a different feeling when the clubs or the equipment, like a snowboard or skis or whatever it is, isn't a hand-me-down, right? Like when you went out and you picked it off the shelf, and even if it's not the best of the best, if it's brand new and you get to like pull all the cellophane off of everything, it's just a different feeling. So I'm buying some clubs, and I put $2,500 aside for clubs, drivers, bags. I'm doing everything brand new because I think I've only ever bought myself a putter. That was 20 years ago. I bought like a $44 Dunlop at Sport Check.
You might want to double that amount too, by the way, if you're buying putters and wedges. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But then I was thinking like something fun because, you know, as you guys know, when you're a high handicapper and you're learning how to play, duffing it around some of these good courses can be a real headache. And yeah, I do want to do one of these trips and do that with all of you. But I thought there's got to be a way to like DM someone like a John Daly. And if we offered him $4,500, he'd come on around with us for sure. $4,500 cash, gets to play around 18 with three guys mucking it around the course. I think he'd do it on like on a regular day. You think he'd answer his DMs for $5,000, $4,500?
I mean, if we were down there, right?
Like, yeah, we gotta go to him.
If we went to him, then 100%.
Yeah,
that'd be wild.
Like you guys said, it's all about the experience. And I thought, I was trying to think of some of the pro golfers that I'd want to play around with, and somebody that would be low enough on the totem pole to do it for cash in hand. And John Daly was the one that sprang to mind, that he'd take a little cash in hand for a good round of 18 with the boys. So yeah, that's my experience spend. I do my lessons, I get a bag of clubs, and then I spend the rest on John Daly.
I think if you throw in a Hooters gift card, he'd definitely do it too.
There we go. I'll leave that to the other two guys in the other cart. But I think that's a pretty good 10K, guys. I'm happy with that. Let's take another break, then we're talking hockey.
Are you looking for an exciting new way to earn an extra few bucks? Are your days busy and evenings free after the kids are all tucked in the bed? If you've packed on an extra few pounds from a couple too many light beers, we are looking for you. This city's newest and most charming entertainment spectacle is searching for some new talent. Dad Bod's Gentleman Experience is now hiring. So come on down to Papa Bear's Hideaway and Cocktail Lounge. Show us how you can still cut a rug. Don't let this dad bod trend pass you by. For any interested bookings of Dad Bod's Gentleman Experience, please contact Gary at Papa Bear's Hideaway and Lounge.
All right, we're back now and we're talking hockey. We're going to switch it up from golf. It's not golf season yet for these NHL players, but it will be soon for some of these teams for sure. And it's looking like we might be gearing up. We're all Ottawa boys, but it looks like we might be gearing up for another Battle of Ontario. Is that locked in stone? Derek, do you know for sure that the Battle of Ontario is happening again?
It's official. I think as of yesterday was the official. It's the Battle of Ontario. So it's a go.
That's super exciting. And then just out of curiosity, I was just thinking about this a second ago because I saw a friend of mine, I think he's a Montreal fan, post that they're in the playoffs. How many Canadian teams are in the playoffs? Because we got Winnipeg, Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal.
5 of 7 are in.
5 of 7. Yeah, so Vancouver and Calgary are in.
Yeah. Calgary was close, too. They came down to the wire, but yeah. So, yeah, the Habs clinched tonight. They just won, so they're in.
Hockey's always better when there's Canadian teams playing for the Stanley Cup, which is just awesome. But what I'm curious about is, like, the prospect of rehashing some of the old vibes of that Battle of Ontario. Like, do you guys think the intensity is going to be there and the gamesmanship of those sort of old games are coming back from those sort of mid-2000s, 2010s? You think those are coming back for us to enjoy?
I think it's going to be a different intensity. Because, like, if you watch some of the highlights from those games, like, you got Travis, or was it Tucker, jumping into the bench with Travis Green, who's now coaching.
That's hilarious.
Like, Alfie burying Tucker from behind, no penalty, he goes and scores. Like, I don't think we're going to see the same intensity, like Chera ragdolling McCabe. I think it's going to get heated. But if you just look at the lineups, I'm not a Toronto guy, but from their point of view, like, they got, you know, what, Domi and who's the D they brought in from Boston, who's a bit, like, they got toughness on the back end, but they don't have a guy who's coming out there and he's going to just start challenging, like Brady or anybody like that. And from the Sens side of things, like, we have a lot of, like, rats, I'd say, on our lineup now, which is great. Like, Nick Cousins is back. You got Ridley, Greg. Both are just absolute beauty rats. And then you got Brady, who can throw him. But, like, I don't want Brady spending 5 minutes in the box because that's 5 minutes he's not on the ice. So I think you're going to see hitting. I think off the bat in game one, I hope that it's just, like, absolutely revved up and they're ready to go. But I just don't think you're going to see, like, the NHL's evolved. It's changed. So you're not going to see the 5-on-5 line brawl, the jumping into the bench, the Cujo going after Mick Magoo, the ref, and knocking him over. Like, I don't think we're seeing any of that anymore.
Man, yeah. It's going to be exciting, and I think you make some really good points, Derek. I think the game has changed. Like, those old Sen series were, like, in the, like, middle of the dead puck era, and they were so low scoring, those playoff games, because it was just so grimy and, like, yeah, Ty Domi was getting, like, mad time on ice. And, like, it was just so, so weird. And we were just on the losing end of the stick because I think at that time we were a much better regular season team than the Leafs. But they always kind of caught us out because we had such high expectations. And they had much more, like, experience-laden team. And I feel like the script is kind of different. Like, Toronto's kind of on the back half of, like, being a really good regular season team and just not – getting over the line, and we're just getting there for the first time since, what, 2017? So all the pressure's on the Leafs. We're kind of playing with house money. I wouldn't be surprised if we lose, but if we could definitely turn some heads and take it to game 6 or 7, make them sweat a little bit. That would be fun. I think that would be a good result. And, you know, if we were to win the series, obviously that'd be a cherry on top. I have no sort of no weird ideas, but I just hope it's fun to watch. And truthfully, I can't remember the last time I was this excited to watch some playoff NHL playoff hockey games.
Yeah, I think that'll be neat. Like, the tide's turning, right? Because those, you know, mid-2000s series, like, the Sens, more like, there might have been 1 year the Leafs finished ahead of the Sens in the regular season, but it was always the pressure on the Sens to win. And I just, with Toronto's history, like, wouldn't it be sweet if it did go deep in the series? And, like, I'm ready to jump back on the bandwagon. Like, I don't watch too many Sens games all year at all. So, like, this is just going to be, yeah, reminiscent for me. Just full bandwagon again.
And I just remember, like, because it's so long ago and I was at a different point in my life, the games mattered so much to me. Like, I took it so personally. And I remember that last year we lost I was in Toronto because I was going to school at York, and I you know, I was like the only Ottawa fan. I was like in a sea of blue, and I just remember being so despondent when we blew it in game seven, like when Lalime let in those softy goals. I just like, I was just inconsolable. I think I went to bed at like right after the game. Like I was just so sad. And I, you know, obviously time has gone by, but there's nothing I've wanted more than to get back at the Leafs for all those like heartaches that I felt in the early 2000s. Like, I don't care if we don't win the cup this year, but beating the Leafs would just honestly make my summer. It would, I would just be able to talk so much shit to Leafs for the rest of the year and just like, you know, stick it to them, stick it in their craw. And so that's sort of like the buoy that I'm sort of latching myself onto. Like, if we could just win, it would just make all those hard times feel so much better again.
And like, you're totally right, man. Like, there's zero pressure on the Sens. Like, they weren't supposed to make the playoffs. Everybody said they weren't going to, and they're not the, you know, they're not rent. The only thing that they got going for them is they beat them in the regular season, 3-0 in the regular season against the Leafs. But like, realistically, that's the regular season. Who gives a shit? So, but there's no pressure. Like, I like also that if you've heard a lot of messaging from like, even Andlauer was on like TSN 1200 this morning, and Steos has said it a couple times. Green said it too. Like, we're the underdogs. Like, we're the first wildcard team. They're the first in, you know, in the Atlantic. Like, we're the wildcard team here. So yeah, we're underdogs and we're coming in, and they got the, you know, all the storylines are no playoff experience except for a couple guys that they brought in, and they're coming in from underneath, and I hope they just chop the knees right out of the league. If we get a split in Toronto for the first two games, like we win one, they win one, that's great.
Yeah. I was saying to a buddy in at work that he's a big Leafs fan, Leafs guy, and I was joking that the Leafs are playing for a Stanley Cup, but the Senators are playing for this series. Like, there's just no looking past it. And like, this, I feel like for these guys in their first big playoff series, and it's the Battle of Ontario, it is literally like our Stanley Cup to win, and we might just blow our load in this series and go, you know, we'd be out in four in the next one. But I think all of Ottawa would forgive them that if we could beat the Leafs in this series for sure. Branks, in Toronto, like, is everybody there just already talking about, you know, the Stanley Cup finals and all that stuff? Or is there any like
fear? Oh, no. I think most of the real fans most of the people that I know that are realistic, like, know the kind of baggage they carry and what's ahead. I'm actually going tomorrow to the last game, so it'll be interesting to see what sort of like the vibes are there and what kind of chatter is going on. But, you know, people throw me barbs. I mean, like, truthfully, like I said, like, we lost all those series. There's like four years we played them in like the late 90s and the early 2000s, and we lost all of them. And there's just no getting around that. Like, it's sort of just like hanging over our heads until we like sort of slay that dragon and potentially lose again this year. Like, we can't say shit to them. Like, we can make fun of our friends for being Leafs fans and, like, you know, them not getting over the line themselves. But in terms of Battle of Ontario, we don't have much to say other than we've just lost every time. So I'm just excited by the opportunity to potentially slay the dragon, and so that'll be fun. You know, I don't know. Lots of things can happen. I keep playing out scenarios in my head. Like, I keep thinking like they're gonna get like one of their like third liners after Stützle, and then Brady's gonna like go to fight, and they're gonna take him off the ice, and we're gonna get a bad trade somehow, and that's gonna be like sort of a through line. So I just hope that Brady Tkachuk can like play within himself, because he's such a nightmare to play against, and then sort of can be our X factor, hopefully, in the series.
Yeah. What do you guys think the CTC looks like? Because for those people that don't know that might be listening, there's been some ploys by management, right? Derek, did you hear? I thought they were selling the first round of playoff tickets, like, if you bought, if you bought a package of season tickets for next season, you could get advanced season tickets. There's a lot of stuff
in the city. Like, I don't know if anybody's on Twitter at all, but I use it quite a bit, and I've made friends with a couple season ticket holders. So one of them actually got me tickets to the World Juniors because the season ticket holders got an advance on that too. So I got a package for that, which was super disappointing. But that's how it was rough. Like my son went to two Canada games and he saw them lose to Latvia and Czech. So that was great. But I digress. So if you look at, I'm looking down a lot right now because I have a couple feelers out to a couple season ticket holders and today was their last day to buy single tickets. So the way it worked for them, and this is where I totally agree that if you're a season ticket holder, you get first dibs. That's part of the package. But if you say, for example, I'm a season ticket holder, I have two seats for a full season. They gave them three opportunities to buy tickets before anyone else, the general public. So they got their normal two seats, sure. Then they gave them, and they reached back out to them and said, do you want to buy another package? And this is not just single games. This is the entire playoffs. So every home game, they got the opportunity to buy two times the amount of their tickets. Then they went back out to them and said, do you want to buy single game tickets for the first round in advance of anyone else? So they had three opportunities to potentially buy three times the amount of tickets that they got for the regular season. So talking to a couple of the season seat guys today, they went in to go buy more and there's none left. And the team's now saying there might be 1500 tickets per game for public sale. Wow. I get the rationale from the club to say we don't want Leafs to be in our Leaf fans to be coming into our building like the regular season. We want to take over our building, so we go to our season ticket holders and hope that they distribute them to other Sens fans. But what they've been doing, like you go on resale sites and now there's tickets popping up on TickPick and Game Time and StubHub. So clearly some are selling to the public, which Leaf fans would probably gobble up. But the ridiculous thing is I actually got two tickets today for a couple buddies for Hagen to game four, so the Saturday game, and it was $275. This is face value from the team. So it's $550 for two tickets in the upper level of the 300s. And the guy told me it's $250 for standing room. I was like, wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
So he's also trying to get me tickets for game three. And he said, I have a couple right now, but I'm waiting to hear back. And they're in the 200s, but they're $375 and $350 each. So depending where in the 200s. So like the prices are the package that the season ticket holders got, where I think it was like $60 for the tickets that George got for the first round, which is super reasonable for upper 300 levels. And now they're jacking the prices up for like non-season ticket holders. Wow. So I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know how this strategy is going to work. If it works, then kudos to the team. And Sens fans have had it so nice for ticket prices for so long. So you just got to suck it up. You made the playoffs. If you really want to go, and then you got to drop some money on it.
That's great. And Derek, you obviously know because we've been chatting, but like that's crazy for Ottawa because through my contact, like in Toronto, I get like the one game a year from this friend of Caitlin's, her dad's a season ticket holder. And it was $270 for, he offered me game two tickets for $270 a pop. And that's Toronto, where I would expect it to sort of be on the high end. So the notion that like in Ottawa, seats that are probably way higher, because like mid upper bowl in Toronto feels a lot closer than it does in Ottawa. Ottawa's like when you're in the upper 300s, you feel like you're a mile away from the rink. And they're charging the same, like there's something afoot. But, you know, if there's more Ottawa Sens in the seats, like are Ottawa fans in the seats, then I'm all for it. You know, like it is what it is, I guess.
I went on like one of the resale sites and just, you know, you touch Ottawa Senators, it pulls up all the games. So it shows all the games in Toronto and the games in Ottawa. And the resale prices were the same for Toronto or for Ottawa. There was no, normally like past years, I mean, obviously this is a long time ago, but like Leaf playoff tickets versus like, I remember going back in the day in the 2000s, and I know it's a long time ago, but it was like $60 for a ticket, right? So I find that the like $250 for standing room is ridiculous. The price differential between being in the 200s face value or 300s, like sure it's more, it's another $100 something bucks, but I would likely do that if I can get my hands on them. But But I've been, I feel like I'm Friedman on trade deadline day. I'm just looking at my phone. Like, is this guy messaging me? What do we got here? Does he have one? So luckily I secured a couple for the boys, which is good. And then I've got tickets already for the Saturday game. And then tomorrow they go on sale to the public in the morning. So we're going to try to get a couple more for game three at least.
And like we talked about, if game seven comes to it, we might be able to snag those seats, Derek. So you might have a lot of hockey to watch.
Oof.
My wiener just moved when you said that.
I hope it gets to that. Holy shit. That'd be a sweet game to go to. But yeah, anyway, we'll get ahead of ourselves.
Nothing better than a game seven in hockey, because a goal, even a goalie can just steal the game, steal the series. That would be the best. Well, boys, I think this has been an excellent night. Derek, buddy, thank you for joining us. And we loved having you on, buddy. This was great.
I appreciate the invite. I'm super, super happy to be here. Again, playing a little banged up today, a couple coughs, but kids will do that to you. But again, I great time chatting with you boys, and I'm hoping to see you guys on the links in the near future.
Oh, yeah.
You gutted it out. It was a gutsy performance. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. And Ron and Branks, let's do this again, and we'll do it sooner than the last gap.
That you got we had. It, buddy. Stay away from the AI.
Sounds good.
Sometimes them's the breaks.
I had to get my Ron story in there. I was like, when you were like the intro part, you're like, how did you meet everybody? And I was like, the first real memory of Ron I have is him shirtless with an apron throwing pizzas around.
Yeah. Was that Franco's batch?
Yeah, I think that was in the batch. Yeah.
That was the batch? Okay.
Because I remember that was the one where we were all watching the fucking Jays game passing out on the couch. Like, there was like 12 of us on that big couched area. And guys are just like coming in and out of consciousness. I mean, we were just absolutely out of fucking batteries. That show was really funny. And then, yeah, I think the following year, no, we did back-to-back years in that same cottage.
And the second one was Belleville, like the Belleville goal.
Yeah, and then the third year, we like did that house on, at Bay of Quinte.
Quinte.
Yeah. Which was good, but it was,
Yeah. That's so true, Derek. Like, it is just the best part of the year. Like, just the planning, the looking forward to it. It's just, I can't get enough of it. And like, Ryan is just starting his rise, right? Like, like 5 years ago, when Evelyn and Lindy were really little, I was like him. I was just golfing like five times a year. That's all I could managed to get out. So it's like, it's just gonna ramp up for him. And yeah, I just, it's an obsession. But like in a good way.
It's once you catch the bug, it's man, obsession. it's hard to shake it. Like I said, even though I'm like in between all these like clubs or tinkering, like I love the tinkering. Like I'm constantly thinking about it, and like I was like, oh, maybe I should do this or I should do that, and like I love the tinkering is sweet.
Oh,
I don't know, Derek. Have you told Derek about all the fucking lead tape you've been slapping around on your clubs?
No, I don't think I've had a chance to tell him that. Yeah.
What do you got going on now?
Well, like I always found that when I'm hitting both my driver and three wood really well, the yardages are like very similar in a way. And it didn't make any sense to me, like why a shorter club with more loft was going just as far. Like I felt like my swings were the same. So I took the heads off, and like my three wood head was like 25 grams heavier than my driver head. So I've been experimenting with putting lead tape in different spots in my driver, and then using the Garmin to inside, I can't wait to get it outside, you know, to a real range and see. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying.
Have you seen a difference?
I've seen a difference in like the smash factor going up. Like it seems to be giving me yeah, like a boost that way. But it, this is what I meant by like the R10 is not TrackMan in any way, shape. Like it's not that. So it needs to be seen in real life. So I'm just super curious because like trying to maintain the same club head speed, which I can see on my Garmin, but then adding the enough weight so that I'm not, you know, you don't want the club head speed to get lower, of course, right? But anyway, I don't know. Like I, it feels good, but anyway.
It's funny, when I did my fitting, they said the same thing. They're like, you hit your three with the exact same distance you hit your driver. Like when you catch it, catch them both, it's going the same distance.
And it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, and I find the frustrating thing for me is like, I have a lot more faith in my three wood than my driver. And I was, I remember going into my fitting recently and be like, how do I just take this package and just like make it like worthy of a driver? Because I love the way the three wood feels, but the as soon as I put a driver in my hand, it's like a fucking short circuit goes in my brain. It just doesn't feel right. It just completely cannot.
It has to be shaft length. I think if you had the same length shaft, your address would be the same, and then you'd feel.
I think that's it. And I told you my story about accidentally having my three wood shaft in my driver. It was just the contact was so much better, but I don't know.
That's your answer, man.
Yeah,
that's been my curiosity with those new TaylorMade mini drivers, those hot looking ones that came out like 2 years ago. Yeah. Just because the shaft is like 2.5 inches shorter, right? Like it's just a little more.
Yeah, heads are smaller, shaft. They're meant to be like two woods, really. A lot of guys play them as two woods, which is like, it's funny because that's like what drivers used to be like. and they're just packaging it as this like new sort of tech, but it's really just old tech with like a different branding on it or a different like sort of marketing behind it. So.
Which works.
Yeah.
Which works wonders.
Oh, yeah. We eat it up. Just eat it up.
Yeah, I saw like they had like the TaylorMade guys playing at Harbortown, and they were all hitting that R7. And clearly they were just hitting it in the practice round so they could get some videos. They're definitely not bagging it for the tournament.
No.
No.
My phone's been telling me all about that new R7 relaunch. So
That's why I appreciate Titleist, is that they at least have a 2 year product cycle, and TaylorMade has the 1 year product cycle. So every year there's something new, and it's like, man, like you just can't make it much better on a year to year basis, right? Like you can make small improvements here and there, but like it would just be so much more palatable to do it every 2 years.
But, oh, okay. I have to say this before we get into the next segment. Have you guys caught on to the Golf IQ podcast yet? It's a Golf Digest one.
Yeah,
they have that main guy with the weird voice.
Yeah,
who does
Luke Curdenine.
Yeah, but they have these other two guys that talk about equipment.
Yeah,
and it's worth listening to because they'll analyze drivers over the last 3 years.
Yeah,
and they have all this data. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Ron, great call out, because I listened to the one about the QI10 versus the QI35, and it was interesting numbers. But
so interesting. Yeah,
that Jonathan Wall guy is like, he's been on the beat for a while. But the other guy, Ryan Barath, have you heard him? I don't know if he's the other guy on the pod, but.
Is it Gene Perron?
Another guy. I don't know if he works for Golf Digest, but he worked with those guys that do the clubs, and he lives in Hamilton, and I've seen him a few times. He's good.
Oh, shit.
He's like a huge, you should follow him on Instagram. He's a great follow. He's a huge like club builder nerd, and I've had him like do some work for me because he's just like seems like a cool guy. And
what's his name?
Ryan Barath.
Okay.
And he's just a good follow. I think he might work for Scratch now. Like he like works for some company, but he's like sort of like a club builder influencer guy, but he's local to me and he's good shit. He's got tons of good information anyways.
Sick.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. We hope you like what the Grasscutter Social Club is putting out there. We can't wait to see you guys again in about a month with a new inductee to the Grasscutter Social Club. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to like,
and subscribe to our podcast for any future updates, and share with your friends who you think might also enjoy our pod. If you want to follow us on social media, check us out on Instagram at Grasscutter Social Club. Cheers, and until next time, take care.